Okay, you are being recorded. And then I will explain why you're being recorded, but you are being recorded. My name is Priscilla Grosser, and this is CIS 150. And there are 30 of you in this class, and I'm looking around and so I'm not seeing 30 people here. A lot of them probably are taking it online. It's a student option course, which means you have the option of coming to class or taking it online. And you can mix and match that. So you can come some days and not come other days, and it doesn't matter because it can be taken exclusively online. You can come to every class, or you can mix and match. Come sometimes, not come other times. Okay, so that's your choice in a student option class. Okay, my website is www.petegrosser.net. Okay, I do not use DegreeWorks or whatever it is. I don't use it, never have. I predated it, and so I just don't use it. Okay, so I also am a very strong believer in open access and not having passwords. To it. So there is no password. You just go to pgrosser.net. Okay? So when you get to pgrosser.net, you click on CIS 150 and the course comes up. Okay? Information is over here that you can click on. The main thing that you're going to be using is notes and handouts. Okay? When I learned Oracle the first time, and what I learned was SQL, and that's what we're going to be going over in this class, is mainly SQL. And then we will get into PLSQL, which is the programming language using SQL. SQL is, if you look at the lists of things that people should know, if you're going into this field, SQL ranks highly. Okay, it is a high demand thing to know SQL because SQL is behind most of the major databases. Okay, there is now some other methods of using data that big companies have taken over, but most companies still use something that is backed up with SQL. So no matter what database, if you're using, we teach here, Access, PLSQL, Oracle, and they all are backed up by SQL. Okay, so when you type in a query in some kind of user interface, it is being translated into SQL, and that is what is being used, is the SQL translation. Okay, so this class is mainly SQL. Okay. It is not an easy class. If you have little or no background in working with computers other than as a user, then we probably should talk about whether you want to take this semester or whether you want to postpone it. Because it is going to go into how databases are used fairly intensely. And SQL is kind of a different version of programming, and so it just helps if you have some computing background, if you've played around with it some. There is no prerequisite because there really isn't a prerequisite, except that a little knowledge of how to work with a computer other than as a strictly end user is going to be helpful. So that's the basic problem. And if you don't think you've got enough knowledge, then we should talk. Okay, there is no required textbook for the course because the notes and handouts pretty much cover everything that I'm doing. When I made the notes and handouts, I also made presentations which accompany the notes and handouts. So you can look at the presentations and they will go with it. Every day I record this lecture. Okay, so the lecture is out there, and tomorrow if you go and look, it will be there on the audio. Okay, Okay, so I will record today's lecture, and that's why I said you're being recorded. I record today's lecture, and I then post it, okay, under audio. I will also take pictures of the screen. Okay, so I will go up here and take a picture of the screen, and that picture of the screen has now been captured, and I will post those out there as well. Okay, so if you do not take the class, come to the class, you can, by listening to the audio and looking at the slide board presentation, know what happened in the class. Now, some people combine them and give you a kind of audio-video combined. I don't do that because what I found is that people like the slide board presentations when they're doing their homework and don't not necessarily listen to the whole lecture but want to go back in and find some of the notes. So the notes are separate from the audio, which means you've got a little bit of problem when you try to do it together as figuring out when I change screens. But you kind of get used to it and figure out how to go along with that. Okay. Oracle can be gotten and downloaded. It is a pain in the neck. Most people choose not to install Oracle at home because it just is a pain, it's a couple of hours, and it's your choice. But if you do do it, be very careful to follow the directions at Oracle because it leaves footprints all over the place, and downloading it and reinstalling it is horrendous. Most people are going to choose to either work here or work through Putty. And we will look at that on Thursday when everybody has a password. Have you gotten a password for Oracle yet? You have? Okay. Look it up. We're not going to use it today because people come and go the first day, so I'm not going to do the logins today. I'm going to wait for the login on Thursday. But please try to find your login. If you haven't found it, let me know and I will get you one so that everybody has a login by Thursday so that we can log in through Putty and also through just Oracle that is loaded on these computers. So that's your other option, is to do your work here at PCC and use our Oracle in all the labs and in this room. Okay, so we will get into doing that, as I said, on Thursday when I'm confident that everybody will have, and people are still coming and going the first day. The syllabus is up here. We also are trying a new experiment this semester. We're going to have open labs that are staffed by people in the department, but we're going to have the open labs available to have people in every course. So we will tell you what the schedule is, and some of the people will know Oracle. So if you go to a lab when those people are there, they can help you with Oracle. Up until now, we've done more labs based on course, although I've always said that anybody can go to any of the labs. So there is the syllabus. The important things are there are two books there that I think are pretty good books if you want to get a book. And the important thing is that 80% of your grade is based on the work that you do. The homework, the programs, the codes, and the quizzes. 10% is based on being responsible. Okay? So homework is due the Thursday after it is assigned. Okay? I take it late. I take it very late. I take it all throughout the semester. But if you're chronically late, you lose some responsibility points. If you pass everything in the last week of classes, you lose 10 responsibility points. Okay? And I've had people come close to that. So the responsibility is getting things in on time, and it's also quality in the sense of when you pass something in, I will not grade it if it's not pretty much right, okay? Because our goal here is to learn this stuff. So if I was a lousy student, and if somebody passed something back to me, and there were comments on it, I sometimes read them, but I certainly didn't correct what I had done wrong. Okay, so therefore, I wasn't really learning what I had done wrong. It was just floating by. You got to learn this stuff. If you're going to be in this field, you got to learn this stuff. So if you don't get it right the first time, I send it back to you and tell you to fix and resubmit. And if you don't get it right the second time, I pass it back and say fix and resubmit. Okay. If the effort that I'm seeing is lacking, shall we say, and you're kind of flipping through it, that's responsibility. So you heard there. The other 10% of your grade is the final. So the final is only 10% of your grade. The work that you do on a regular basis is your maximum grade. Okay, is the maximum where the grade stands. The final is open notes, open book, and at home. Because this is a student option class, people can be taking the course online, therefore the final is online. So I give you a week to take the final. It is not a 2-hour final. It's going to take you longer than 2 hours unless you don't have to reference anything and then maybe you can get it done in 2 hours. But I give you a week to do it. Okay. So it's kind of like the homework assignment for the last week in classes. Okay. For people that came in late, please go to pgrosser.net because that's where this is located. Questions? None? I must have forgotten something. Thank you.
Are we allowed to use office service?
Sure. I don't care what you do as long as you pass. The homework you're going to pass into me is you're going to essentially copy and paste. So you're going to do the work wherever you do it on using SQL and Oracle. And then you're going to copy and paste both the solution and the SQL that you wrote and the solution that you got, and pass it in to me. Okay, so how you do it, I don't care. So I'm getting a piece of paper, I'm getting it sent to me on the internet. I'm getting a form with the SQL you wrote and the solution you got, and you're going to copy and paste it. I think in some places I said you could take a picture of the screen, and I've changed my mind on that because it's too hard to read lots of times. When people pass in pictures of the screen, if I have to resize everything and go through all of that, it takes an awful lot of time. So basically, I want you to just take pictures of the screen, not take pictures of the screen, copy and paste. And then just paste it onto a piece, onto a form and send it in. Okay? So, and all homework is sent to me. My address is not the college address. My address is, okay? Some button I can push to make that work. My address is p.grosser@rcn.com. p.grosser@rcn.com. I don't use the BCC email because I got too much junk on it. Okay, so this email is for student use only, and so I don't tend to have it cluttered with all the emails from the college and all the other junk that we get. So please use this to send me. If you want to send it back up to BCC, that's fine. But send it to me at p.grocer, G-R-O-C-E-R, at RCN, that's R, RCN.com. Okay? So that's the email address I want you to use. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Okay. Withdrawal policy. Remember that the college started a new withdrawal policy last spring. And I can only withdraw you up to a beginning point. From that point forward, you have to withdraw yourself if you want to withdraw. It used to be that at the end of the semester, I could give people a W or an F. I don't have that choice anymore. If you're still in the class and you haven't done the work, you're getting an F. I don't have the choice of withdrawing you. You've got to withdraw yourself. And it's at approximately two-thirds of the way through the semester when your withdrawal option goes away. Okay? So if you're not doing well in any of your classes, keep that in mind, that if you want to withdraw, it's at about the two-third mark. And that is about it. Okay, what I'm going to do is go to notes and handouts and talk you through a little bit of it. And I am going to also bring up Oracle on my machine. And if you have a password, you can also bring it up. If you go to software and scroll down somewhere along here, SQL Plus. You will see, if you go to software, you will see SQL Plus. Okay. So if you click on SQL Plus, it comes up and it asks you where you want to store information. Okay, where you want to store it. If you store it on the C drive, it's not going to be available to you because the C drive, every time the computer goes off, goes back to the setup that was there the first day of classes. So I have some flash drives in here, and I could store it on one of them. I can store it on any of these drives that are available. Okay. I'm going to say that I'm going to put it on my T drive. I don't know that you have a T drive, but I do. So I'm going to say that I'm going to put it on my T drive. Okay, so there it is on my T drive. And then I'm putting in my username, okay, which is the username you were sent if you have gotten your login, if you have this information. So you're welcome to do it. We're going to go over this again on Thursday, but you're welcome to experiment. But I just wanted to go in and show you what it looked like. If you don't have your password, don't worry about it. So I'm hitting pgrocer. Yours will probably have two numbers after it, like your regular login does, has a two-digit number after it. Yes, and it will be sent to your BCC, okay? And then, and I'm going to check on it, but they actually usually get it out by the second class.
But until then, you can't
use it. And if you don't have the username and password, you can't do what I'm doing. We're going to do it again on Thursday. But a few people said they've gotten the information, so if they wanted to do it, they can go ahead and do it. Okay. So this is what comes up, is I put in my username and my password, And what comes up is this SQL prompt. Okay, so I now have an SQL prompt there. And that's where I can type in the SQL. Okay. So if you are sitting here and have a username and password and want to do it, you can do it. If not, I'm just going to show you how things work. And as I said, I'm going back, and the first thing I'm going to do is I came in here under Notes and Handouts, and then I am going to pick Create a Table in SQL. So there's the Create a Table in SQL. Get it away a little bit from that. So here is how I create a table. I say create table, and I give the table a name. Okay, now a table is a file, basically, and it is a file within a database. And so they have set up a database for you, and the database, you can go in and create a table. Okay, so I can type at this SQL prompt, create table, and I'm going to call it first fall 18, because I don't know how many tables I have up there yet.
Yeah, I just checked my password. It says the next password is the Oracle password, so which one is on the system?
This is the Oracle password. So I said create table first, F-A-T. So it's going to create a table called that. Then I'm going down, and in parentheses, I'm going to describe my table. So my first table is our first field. I'm calling ID number. I can call it anything I want to, but I'm going to call it ID number. And I'm just going to do the one that is there. So I'm saying create ID number. Then I have to tell it the type. And the type is a variable length character data. There, care to me, variable length character data, which means I can put anything in it. ABC, 123, dot, dot, dot. I can put any kind of character in it. Okay? So I am calling it a bear care 2. And now I'm giving it a length, which is 4. So I'm saying I want to create a table, and the first field on that table I'm going to call ID number. It is going to be a variable length character field, and it's going to be 4 characters max. Okay? So this is the first example. If you can't see what I'm doing up there as well, look at my example. I brought up the example for create a table, and I am just mimicking what I have up there for create a table. Okay. Then I hit a comma. Okay. And I usually go down to the next line. You don't have to. You could stay on the same line and keep going and string it all out. I usually go down to the next line. Okay. So there I'm going to have a name field. And again, I'm going to make it a varchar 2. And this one I said maximum 15 characters in length. Okay, so I've now got another field on here. Okay. And I'm checking it as I go along because I don't want to make a mistake because that will throw me into the editor and I don't want to be in the editor today. Okay, so if you see me type something wrong, please let me know. Okay, so now I have something I call first code. You can use the underscore when you are making up the name of something. But But that's about all you should do.
You should be other special characters. So you need to set up.
This one is a fixed-length character data. Okay? It's fixed length. So it is a two-character field. Okay, what happens here is that always it will reserve two characters. With a variable length field, it only reserves the number of characters that you actually use up to 15. You can't go over 15, but if you only use 5 characters, then it will only take 5 characters. It won't put 10 spaces after your name. It will only store the 5 characters that you enter. Here, a fixed length field, if I edit 2 characters and I only put in 1, it will include the space after. So it has a character in the space. With variable length, it won't put in the spaces at the end. Okay? So usually character code is something like, if I was using the department here, CI, BU, all of the departments are 2 characters. If you're using a state code, they're all 2 characters. If you've got an inventory code that's 7 characters, they're all going to be 7 characters. So that tends to be the kind of thing you use character on. So I've got first code here. Character is 2. Okay. And then I put a comma again. And then I can put in a date and I can put in numbers. Okay. So the date, I just write the word date. For numbers, if it is a numeric, not a decimal, I just put the length. If it is a decimal, I put the number of characters, comma, how many decimals there are. So 6 characters total, 2 of which are decimals. And that's something you should check when you're making a table. Some things will have you put the number of whole numbers and the number of decimal places. And so those 2 fields will be whole numbers and decimal places. Others, it will be the total number of characters, comma, decimal places. Okay. And now I need to end this with another closed parenthesis.
Just one time. Another closed parenthesis, because I had an open parenthesis over here. So I'm now closing that parenthesis. And then all SQL commands close with a semicolon. So I've got a semicolon at the end. Yes.
The difference between a variable character and a character, is there a limit to how many characters you can use with just the character command versus variable character?
Probably.
Is there?
But I don't know it.
Okay.
Okay.
So 2 per character and variable character, just however many?
It could be. I'm sure it goes up to 256 on the variables. I'm not sure how much higher it goes than that. But I have never run into a problem. So therefore, the number is high. And if you look it up, you can I'm sure find something that will tell you how many is the max. Actually, if I move this, who knows? I may have it there. I do. If we just move it aside, the maximum is 4,000 and the maximum is 2,000. So. So now I hit enter and it says table created. And that is a key that you need to see that table created. If it doesn't get created, you get to redo it. Later on, we are Thursday, we will talk about using an editor, and then you can find out how to edit the software the other day. So if you made a mistake, then you get to redo it, if you wanted to do it, okay? So now I have the table that I've created. If I want to see this table, I can type DESC or describe. On the handout, it says describe. I can also just type DESC. And so I can say I want to describe first F18. And it gives you the description of the table. So if I forget what I called something in my table, I can just say, go ahead and describe the table, and it comes back and gives me the field names and tells me what type of character I made. Okay, so I'm seeing both the field names and the type of character. Okay. SQL prides itself on having only a very few commands. However, there are clause upon clause upon clause in these commands that make it more complex. The create is one of the commands, and that allows me to create a table. Later on, we'll get into, if I decide I want to change this, how I can alter the table. Okay, so if you now scroll down the handout a little further, there are insert statements, and I can insert. Now you can see that these notes are the oldest notes I have for any class I teach. They go back to the 90s. And basically, SQL is the only thing I teach that hasn't changed much. SQL is SQL is SQL. They have added a few little things here and there, but basically one of the nice things about SQL is it's a fairly complete product, okay? And from using it in Oracle to using it in MySQL, there are minor differences, but it's in the high 90s. Percent is the same, no matter where you are, whatever database you're using. In the high 90s is the same. So now I can insert some data into the table. Okay? So I can go in here and say insert into, and I called it first F18. So I am putting first F18 in here. And then I put in the values that I want to insert. Okay, so I come down here and I type the word values, and then I put a parenthesis, and I can make up my data. Okay, so character data, you tend to put in quotes, and you use single quotes. So character data has to be in quotes, and has to be single quotes. And if you notice, varchar2, character, and data are all in quotes. The numbers are not in quotes. Okay? So I'm putting in an ID, and then I put in a comma as the separator. And then I've got Susan Johnson, and she also is in quotes, and then a comma. And then I've got the department code is CI, and then I can put in 12 January, and if you want to update that, you can put something other than 96. You can put the two digits that we're at now, which would be 18. And I almost did a double quote there. And then I did 123 and 12.45, I closed the parenthesis, put in a semicolon, and one row was created.
Okay, so it just added a row to my table.
So now, if I want to see that row in the table, I can use the select clause, the select statement rather. So we've now looked at create and insert, and I can now do a select, and if I say select asterisk from first F18, it shows me the entire record. Okay? Notice the record header is the name of the field. But in this case, it is only an FI because it was only two characters, so it doesn't have room to write first code. So it abbreviates it out. Okay. First whole amount automatically reserves 16 spaces, I think it's 16. And so the number goes over to the left. Character data pushes against the left wall. I said left, sorry. Character data pushes against the left wall, numbers push against the right wall. I said left, I should have said right. I can't tell the difference between left or right half the time. Okay, so left is over there, right is over here. So now if I want to add another field, another record rather, I say insert into first F18 values left out a comma there. It is very good to check these before you hit enter because it's a lot easier to edit it when it's sitting right here than it is to go into the editor. So then I've got a semicolon and a closed parenthesis and I've added a second row. So I can keep adding rows along here and get the four rows that I have. Many values. Okay, what do they do? I don't actually see what I did. Did anybody see it? A comma that looks like a decimal point someplace. doing very well. First 18 does two exist. Oh, this fall 18. Okay, so I don't really want more than two records. Yes. You can go up and go in like this and do it, yes. You can use the up thing to go in and do this and then make a change. Well, this was on the top row. Into first, if the F-18 should have been here, I'm not paying attention. The F-18 should be there, okay? And then you can go down and hit the up arrow and come in and get the values, okay? And then I got the one row created. That actually is an easy version of the editor, so I guess I don't mind going into that. When you work with putty, the editor is a pain in the neck, yeah.
The up arrow takes the last row.
Yeah, and then if you keep pushing the up arrow, it keeps repeating up. Yeah. Okay, so I've got three records there, and that's enough. I don't need to put in the fourth one. Okay, so now I can say select asterisk from first F-18. And there are my three records. If I only want to see part of it, I can say select ID number name from first F-18. And now I'm only seeing the first number and the name. Okay, so I can select asterisk gets me all fields. Select asterisk shows everything. If I only want specific fields, select ID number and name. Okay. And we will get into, probably not today, we'll see how we're doing. We'll get into adding where clauses on this, which can check for specific codes. So I could say where the code is a CI and only see those that have a CI. Okay, so if we keep, I think that's everything in this handout. Okay, so now we're going to go back and we're going to pick up the next handout, which is Introduction to SQL. And I don't quite know why I put them in the order I did, but I did. So I am looking here at three tables that are in a contribution system. And these are the tables that I'll use in my examples a lot of the time. The underlying things up there are the primary keys. And we'll get into a description and a definition of primary keys a little bit more. But basically, because we're not doing it yet. We're not doing it in Oracle. There's a way to set up primary keys in Oracle, and we're not there yet. But essentially, a primary key is the thing that uniquely identifies a record. Okay? And if you're creating records on a table, you need to have something to uniquely identify each record so that you can go in and modify that record if you want to modify it. So the donor, the ID number, uniquely identifies the record. Everybody has a unique ID number. And those are the other things that I'm going to keep on the donor table. I'm going to keep a name, a state address, a city, state, zip, date, year, goal, and contact. So those are the fields that I'm going to keep on the donor table. The donation table is going to have an ID number, a drive number, a date of the contribution, and the amount of the contribution. The key there involves three different fields because ID number isn't going to make a unique because I want them to contribute many times. If you've ever contributed to anything, you know that you get at least loads of emails every year asking you to contribute again. Okay? So the ID number is not enough to be unique. And then I said, okay, I wanted to keep track of ID numbers, the drive they gave to, and the date they gave it. And if I combine those three, that makes it unique. Okay? Because nobody is going to give the same, no one person is going to give you the same drive on the same date, new time. So they're not going to be able to send down the separate. So that makes it unique. And then I have a third table, which is the drive table, and the drive number is unique for that. It's the drive name, it's the chair, the goal, etc. So those are three tables that I'm going to use. And the primary key I just mentioned, because they're underlined, we will get into far more talking about primary keys when we start to implement the protocol. So I created a donor table, and those are the three records that are on the donor table. Okay, so I have a donor table out there that I created. And I did it the same way we just created this table. And then I said, okay, if I want to only see the ID number, the name, and the city, then I will write select ID number, name, city. And as I pointed out here, you can have it up there, or you can have it on the same line. You can have two different lines, the same different line. I could have said select ID number, hit the arrow, paint it down, the name, comma, city. In other words, it doesn't care what line things are on. There are times when I am feeling patient and everything, where I write the parts of the command in uppercase, and I write the names of the fields and the name of the table in the case that I use when I made it. It's lowercase. Doesn't matter. I don't have to do that. But I do it sometimes, as I said, when I'm being careful, because it kind of makes it more readable. If the commands are in uppercase and the fields are in lowercase, it's a little more readable. Okay. As we'll see when we get along later in this, I can write these commands and save them so they can be executed later on. And if I'm saving them, then I tend to be more aware of other people reading them. Okay. I'm not sure I took a picture of that first page. So I will go back and take it. Okay. I can come down here, and if you don't like the name of the field as the column header, I can say select ID number as ID, and then the column header will become ID. Name, I left the same. Street address as street, I changed it to street. So if I think I would like to see different column headers for some reason, I can do that by just saying select ID number as ID, or I can just simply forget the as and say select ID number, ID, comma, name, comma, street address, street. Okay, and that gives me a different column header. If I want a multi-word column header, as in an ID space number sign, I put it in quotes. And this is one of the very rare occasions in Oracle where you're allowed to use double quotes. Okay? Double quotes are usually not used. You use single quotes almost exclusively when you want a quote. But this is one of those rare times when you use a double quote.
So.
Questions. I forget to say questions. If you have questions, ask questions.
Okay.
That means everything I've said so far either makes total sense or you're so lost you can't even think of a question. Okay. So, which is it? Okay, you can also do math in the select statement.
And you've got a plus, a hyphen, a asterisk for multiplication, and a slash for division. So here I said, show me the ID number, the name, and the year goal divided by 12. I wanted to find out the monthly goal. So I'm saying, show me year goal divided by 12. And I can actually do that on the select line.
I can actually put in a formula. Okay? And so it will then show me that. Now this does nothing to the data.
When I say select and show me, it is simply doing the divide for the purposes of showing it. It is not impacting the data on the database in the table one bit. Okay. You have to be very specific about what you're doing. You can only handle the data, change the data with very specific commands. You can't accidentally change it. You have to be using very specific commands, like the insert command, which added a record to the database.
Interestingly enough, when you set up security, you can set up security such that only certain IDs can touch the database. Everybody can look at it, everybody can do select statements and see what's on it, but you can reserve the right to only a few people to be able to touch the data on the database. And that's a good thing. Okay. So on this one, I also can write other calculations, and you can see I did one down below where I said, okay, show me the ID number, the name, and then I said, take your goal, add 100 to it, divide it by 12, and when you show it, this is the header that I want to see.
Let me scroll up a little so you can see the results.
So that would be the header that I would show after I added 100 and did the divide by 12.
Okay. It follows the order operations that you learned in algebra.
Okay, the order of operations, meaning it evaluates work from left to right. It does multiplication and division first. It does addition and subtraction second. Parentheses are evaluated or resolved first. Okay? So when I came down here, even though a divide takes precedent over a plus, since I put this in parentheses, the plus gets done first. And then it does the divide. So it evaluates what's inside parentheses first. And then the divide, okay, which is basically the rules of mathematics. You're talking about how algebra works, okay? So if I want to change the order of operation, I use parentheses. Okay, let's see. I think that. Over here, you see
an asterisk next to the number and a slash. That means that I went into the editor. And we'll see that when we go into the editor. but that means I made a mistake when I typed this example, and so I had to go into the editor to fix it. So when I come back from the editor, I can hit the slash, which means run it. And the asterisk in here tells me that I was into the editor. And the slash then will execute when I come back from the editor. So I come back from the editor and the slash will execute it.
And we'll see that as we go along, but I didn't want you to be confused by that asterisk and slash. Okay, that asterisk gets put in there when I go into the editor, and the slash is how I execute it when I came back. Okay. On person 2222, let me go back up and find them. Oh, I guess I changed it. Okay, at some point I pulled out and changed 2222, and I forgot how that did that.
So that it was null. It had nothing in the goal. So it was nothing in the goal of your short spaces.
Okay. When I show things, I can also concatenate things together in a way that I would like to see them. So on this one, I said I want to show city and I want to concatenate it with state. And the concatenate is two of the bars, and the bars are the character that is right underneath the backspace on my keyboard, at least. Okay, on the keyboards here.
Is there space?
It looks like there is on the keyboard, but there really it doesn't show up that way when it shows up on paper. So this does not look like there's a space in between. But your keyboard does look like there's a space in between. Okay. So if I concatenate them, they go together as one, which means there's no space in between them. Okay, so I concatenate them and they go together as one. So if for some reason I would like to concatenate, I can do that. If I want them to be concatenated, but I want to see the city and then a comma space in the state, I can say select city concatenated with inside quotes, comma space, concatenated with state. And it will show me city, comma space, state. That's all about how you want it to look. If you go down a little bit further, I said select name, concatenate it with, has a yearly goal of, with a space around it, and concatenate it with year goal.
Okay, so has a yearly goal, actually has a space after the quote.
go in and I want to find contacts. The contact person is the person that was in charge of trying to get money out of here. Okay, and I want to get a list of all of the contacts. But contacts will appear in multiple people. You know, maybe all of Rhode Island has just two contacts. So anybody from Rhode Island is going to have one of those two contacts. I want a list of the contacts, and I don't want to say the same name over and over and over again, because they are assigned to 100 donors. I only want to see them once. So I can say, select distinct contacts. And that means the ones that show me John Smith, they won't show me John Smith again. They will only show me John Smith once. So if I want to find out what cities my donors come from, I can say select distinct city, and it will show me the city only once. Okay? Whether I have one donor in that city or 1,000 donors in that city, it will show it to me only once. And the last thing I think on this handout is the audit-by clause. And the audit-by clause sorts. That is S-O-R-T. Okay? I have this lovely New England habit of adding R's where they're not needed and subtracting R's where they're not needed. So an S-O-R-T is a sort in my world, okay? So I'm doing a sort. And I am saying order by date first. And so my sort is in order by date. Okay. And it is ascending. So 92 came first, then 97, then 98. So it's ordered by that field. Okay. If I want it in descending order, I put in the DESC. And that means descending order. So ascending is the default if I want to see it sort in descending order. So that 98 comes first, I put in the first DESC. Okay. And then the date comes first. The highest date, rather, comes first. You can also sort by true fields. So I can say sort by state and then by date first descending. So that means the primary sort is going to be state. Whatever I list first is going to be the primary sort. So it will put itself in order by state. And then, once it's in order by state, it will order the state, the Massachusetts one, by date. Okay, so once it is in order by state, it will take the Massachusetts records and put those in order by date. And then it will take Rhode Island and put those in order by date. Okay? So the first field listed is the primary sort, and the second field listed is the secondary sort. And if I listed a third field, it would do that next. Okay? This one I sorted by state and something I call month, which was year gold divided by 12, which was month. And Al Hershey was null, so he's appearing there. Okay. Questions. Okay, I think we've hit saturation level. So you're getting out 7 minutes early, unless you have questions. Questions? Did it make sense? Are you lying? Anybody have any questions? Okay, we're done.